Thank you, worship team. All right. Jill wasn't willing to say what was the name of the virus. But what's in every news outlet? What is on everyone's social media? What is happening and that's on your mind right now? What is it? Did someone say lunch? I thought I heard lunch. All right, coronavirus. Okay, this is, I mean, you guys see the effect of it, right? We're living in this new norm. We're living in a new reality. Look at our church. Look at how it's impacted the attendance on Sunday, right? You can't deny that it's had pretty significant impacts on Sunday worship. Look at our small groups. This past week, I had 3 video conferences, 2 with 2 different small groups, 1 with our prayer meeting, okay? We're not even meeting in person. Think about the saddest part, no more Sunday lunch. Sadness. So many things have changed in church. New reality, new norm. Think about the workplace, okay? What Winnie was sharing with me this past week, and maybe some of you guys, this is going on in your workplace. She works at Capital One. I was told that Capital One has canceled all business travels, so people are not traveling anymore. I was told that they're not even doing on-site interviews. They actually have a huge building where they bring candidates in for interviews, and now they're doing video conferencing for interviews. I was also told, Winnie said, recently they asked all the employees to go home and test out their VPN, which is their access into the company, because they wanted to do a load test in case everyone gets sent home and no one's working from the campus anymore. So we're all living a new reality, right? We're all living in this new norm. We can't deny what is going on. And I know people are in different camps. Some are like, why are we reacting like this? And others are like, why aren't we reacting like this? So we got people spread out all over the spectrum. But there is one danger that I have noticed, at least in the last couple months, okay? And that is isolation. If you have not noticed, there are people who literally have disappeared from church for like 2-3 months. You haven't seen them. You haven't seen them on social media. They just disappeared. Bill raised his hand. He's like one of them. But he's here this Sunday, so we're thankful. But there are folks like that who just completely disappeared, and that's the danger. The danger of this new norm, the danger of this new reality is isolation, right? People are just isolated in their houses. They're isolated from their community. They're isolated from work. And so isolation is a real danger here that's going on. And there's actually a lot of problems that come from isolation. And what I want to do is show us a video. It's very short, but it's a study that was done on addiction, okay, addiction. And I want you to just pay attention to what this guy's talking about. It's actually a TED Talk that I shortened. And he talks about the root cause for addiction. And it shouldn't be a surprise he's going to point to isolation, okay? And so what we're going to be talking about today is that isolation is going to lead to a lot of unhealthy habits. And one of them that could happen in a very real way is addiction. So here's the video.
As Alexander explained to me, the idea of addiction we've all got in our heads, that story, comes partly from a series of experiments that were done earlier in the 20th century. You get a rat and you put it in a cage and you give it 2 water bottles. One is just water and the other is water laced with either heroin or cocaine. If you do that, the rat will almost always prefer the drugged water and almost always kill itself quite quickly. So there you go, right? That's how we think it works. In the 70s, Professor Alexander comes along and he looks at this experiment and he noticed something. He said, we're putting the rat in an empty cage. It's got nothing to do except use these drugs. Let's try something a bit different. So Professor Alexander built a cage that he called Rat Park, which is basically heaven for rats, right? They've got loads of cheese, they've got loads of colored balls, they've got loads of tunnels. Crucially, they've got loads of friends, and they've got both the water bottles, the normal water and the drugged water. But here's the fascinating thing. In Rat Park, they don't like the drugged water. They almost never use it. None of them ever use it compulsively. None of them ever overdose. You go from almost 100% overdose when they're isolated to 0% overdose when they have happy and connected lives. Now, when he first saw this, Professor Alexander thought, you know, maybe this is just a thing about rats. They're quite different to us, you know, maybe not as different as we'd like, but, you know. But fortunately, there was a human experiment into the exact same principle happening at the exact same time. It was called the Vietnam War. In Vietnam, 20% of all American troops were using loads of heroin. And if you look at the news reports from the time, they were really worried because they thought, my God, we're going to have hundreds of thousands of junkies on the streets of the United States when the war ends. It made total sense. Now, those soldiers who were using loads of heroin were followed home. The Archives of General Psychiatry did a really detailed study. And what happened to them? It turns out they didn't go to rehab. They didn't go into withdrawal. 95% of them just stopped. What if addiction is about your cage? What if addiction is an adaptation to your environment? Looking at this, there was another professor called Peter Cohen in the Netherlands who said, maybe we shouldn't even call it addiction. Maybe we should call it bonding. Human beings have a natural and innate need to bond. And when we're happy and healthy, we'll bond and connect with each other. But if you can't do that because you're traumatized or isolated or beaten down by life, you will bond with something that will give you some sense of relief.
All right, hopefully you caught that. They did an experiment with rats. Okay, the first experiment with rats in an empty cage, and it always picked the water with the drugs because it had nothing else to do, right? And so the drug gave it a lot of, I don't know what drugs do to you. I've never taken it, but I assume it gives you like ecstasy feelings, right? That's what you see in the movies. But then they did another experiment where the cage, they filled it up with a lot of rats, a lot of things to do. And what they found out is that when rats are in community, when they have purpose, when they have things they can do, they don't choose to take drugs. And so he talked about the Vietnam War, he talked about some other studies about humans, where when humans are connected and bonded and in community, they don't choose to do things that are destructive to themselves. It's only when you're isolated, when you're alone, you have that need to bond with something. And if it's not people, if it's not purpose, if it's not community, you're going to choose something that's unhealthy for you. And I bet you, I don't know if you guys have read the some articles about how China's dealing with the coronavirus, but everyone, especially in the city of Wuhan, has been quarantined, right? Everyone's at home. And what has happened is the servers in Wuhan are starting to crash because everyone is online. And that creates a problem, right? You're gonna go online, you're gonna waste time doing random stuff, you might even start going into websites you shouldn't be going, and so you start developing unhealthy habits because of isolation. Now, I know in this church we haven't gone that severe yet, but it could happen. I mean, think about people who haven't showed up in 2 to 3 months, right? Think about what kind of habits have they developed as a result of not being part of a community. So these are real dangers that could really happen to folks in our church. Let me ask you this question. Which country right now has the absolute right to keep themselves in isolation? Any clue? Which country, what people have the absolute right to isolate themselves right now and not be part of community? No answer. United States? Close? Not quite. Very close. North Korea? One of them for sure. The original country that started all of this. China, right? So cities are still in lockdown. There's so many things that are happening in China right now where they absolutely have every reason to stay isolated. But what I'm going to show later is that they're actually doing the complete opposite. And we're going to talk about a group that our church is working with to help the community and help people as they're going through this coronavirus epidemic. But first, I want to point us to a scripture. This is in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is about this guy. He has tried every single thing in life that gives pleasure and joy, right? He talks about power. He talks about influence, he talks about relationships, he's trying all these things to the max, and he comes to the conclusion that none of these actually bring him any sense of purpose nor fulfillment. And so that's the vast majority of the book. He just talks about all these experiences that he's going through, and none of them really add up to much. And he still finds himself empty. I want us to look at chapter 4. He talks about this specific thing about community and isolation that I find really interesting. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12, he says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them fall down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." So for a guy who has tasted every single thing on earth, it is amazing to me that he talks about isolation versus community. He talks about the cons of someone who's isolated, someone who's alone, right? He says they don't have a good return on labor because this person is just depending on their own strength. He talks about when this person falls down, there's no one there to pick him up. He talks about staying in the cold because there's not another body there to keep this person warm. And he talks about when the enemies attack, this person cannot defend himself. He's just going to get overpowered. He's going to break. Then the author talks about the benefits of community. He talks about when you are not alone, when you're in community, when you have relationships with people, and that's an ongoing relationship. He says, it's better. It's always better. You're going to get a lot of good returns on what you're doing. When you fall down, there's someone there to pick you up and help you. There's someone there to keep you warm or when you feel cold and lonely. And when the enemy attack, you can defend together. I don't know about you guys, but when I read this, I think about what's going on right now. Think about so many people are isolating themselves, and they're prone to all these problems that are going to happen in their lives. Right, we're told not to do that. In fact, we can go scripture after scripture in the Bible that talks about each other, one another, community, the body of Christ, the church. Right? We can look at so many scripture that says about why community is so important. Now, what I'm not stressing is that we're asking everyone to come together, right? Forcing people to physically be together. What I'm saying is, we need to be in community, whether that takes the form of virtual, like video conferencing or whatever, but we cannot leave people in isolation because it's a very dangerous time. So what I want to show is a couple of pictures of folks in China, right? To me, it makes sense if I was a Chinese living in China right now, I would completely isolate myself. Like, I would not want to be around anybody. But I want to show you these pictures. These are groups of nonprofits, they're NGOs in China right now. The vast majority of them are church members. And so these are the groups that our church is working with to get funds and materials into China, okay? So I just want to show you a couple things that they're doing. And you'll notice that all of them have very biblical names. This one's called Grace Team. So Grace Team is a minority group, and apparently, I didn't know this, but as a minority group, they get free access to equipment and supplies from the government. And so this NGO minority group went and took all these supplies, they went into the community to give to government agencies, to give to community people, and so this is a picture of them going out into the community. This is another one. This one is crazy. This, they needed supplies, and there weren't any supplies that they could get a hand on, so they contacted a group in Germany, and so this German person drove the supplies from one city to another city in Germany, got in onto a plane, the plane went to Shanghai, and then in Shanghai, this team went in a helicopter to pick up the supplies to bring it to their city so they can distribute the supplies to the community members. This one is, you know, regular people going out. They have supplies, they're going out door to door, they're helping people who do not have masks, who do not have hand sanitizers, which I'm told Target and Walmart is out. So if you guys have gone out, you probably can't find any of them. But they're going out and they're handing out food and water, disinfectants. Their name's called Fisherman Team. This one is called Salt and Light. So you should know by now, these are like Christian people, right? Because they're naming their NGOs with very biblical names. And so this is a girl, she's going out, she's handing out masks, because a lot of the older people in the community, they just cannot go out, or even if they go out, they don't have masks, because they just can't get their hands on them. And so she's been going out and handing out masks and teaching the older folks in the community how to use them. This one is awesome. So in cities that had been quarantined, they're not allowed to go out and buy food. And so this NGO fills up a truck full of food. They go underground in the parking lot so that people don't have to leave their buildings. They just go downstairs into the parking lot to get food and supplies and things like that. So the reason I show you this is for this country, for this city where they have absolutely every reason to isolate themselves, this is not going on. And so we want to think about, you know, how as people of God in Richmond right now in this church, you know, what can we do to build community and not let community fall? Community's fragile, right? If you don't get in contact with a certain person for a couple months, you stop thinking about them. So here's the challenge I want for us to do today. The challenge is to think about someone who hasn't been to church in a while. Okay, think about just one name. And then I want you to take your phone out. So if you have a phone right now, take it out. Where's my phone? All right, I'm going to do what you guys are going to do too. Okay, take your phone out. I want you to take a picture of a couple of people beside you. So for me, I'm going to do a picture of everyone. I know on the leadership level, we're like, no phones in sanctuary. So I'm totally breaking all kinds of rules right now. But here, we're going to take a picture of everybody. And you guys take it with people around you, okay? Okay, now what I want you to do is send this picture to the name of the person you were just thinking about. Send it to them. And then just write a brief message saying something like, wish you were here, miss you, or thinking about you, praying about you, all right? Do something like that. So I'm going to send it to a person that I haven't seen in a while. Stephen, not Stephen. And I'm going to say, you guys doing this? Don't feel awkward. Take out your phone, take a picture. I give you full permission right now to do this. Everyone got your phone out? Wish you were here, exclamation mark. Okay, mine's done. Everyone good? Feel free to do silly pictures. If you don't have a phone with you right now, or you're old school and you want to write a letter or send a card, do that after church. But we need to remember community and help, especially those who haven't been here in a while, to remember there's a community here who missed them, who is thinking about them, who's praying for them, okay? Here's the other thing. We want to build community here in GCBCR. We also want to help the community in Wuhan. So those pictures that I showed you of the NGOs out there, they're doing all kinds of good work. The money that you put in the Wuhan Support Fund is going to go there. So Yao Ming has a bunch of envelopes. If you don't have it already, grab it from him on the way out and then just drop it in the offering box. 100% of the funds is going to go to those groups to help people in Wuhan. And the last thing I would say is as I was preparing this message, you know, I think about the idea of isolation and community. And we think about it in the terms of the gospel, right? If we think about the gospel in its meta-narrative story, we were in community with God. We're told right off the bat in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, God created us to have community with Him and to have community with each other. We know that man sinned against God by disobeying, and so everything was broken, right? We see isolation, we see sin, we see disease, we see brokenness, we see all kinds of stuff coming into the world. And I could bet you even without this Wuhan coronavirus thing going on, people will still choose isolation. But we also see in the story of the gospel that God chose to not leave us in isolation. He chose not to leave us in isolation to develop even more bad habits, to self-destruct ourselves. He chose to send his son, right, to reach out in the time when we choose isolation, he chose community and reconciliation. And so I would encourage each one of you guys to live the way that Christ lived, to say, we're going to reach out to people who have isolated themselves. We're going to choose to reach out to them and say, we're thinking about you, we're praying about you. And we know the end story of the gospel is a beautiful one, that when God came and sent his son to reconcile us back to him, broken people, sinful people, that now we're in a relationship with God and we're people transformed through the Holy Spirit. And so I pray for that, right? We are a transformed people, we're a transformed community. So let's live that out during the time where all of us want to isolate ourselves. So here's another example of community. I'm going to invite Rebecca up. So Rebecca's going to talk about VT1, Virginia Tech One. It is one of the ministries she's involved in Virginia Tech. This is what we should be looking at and modeling, where they're calling students together to be in community and to worship God in ways that are awesome. In fact, I think they just had a VT1 event a couple weeks ago, or was it last week, Rebecca? Yeah. So if y'all don't know Rebecca, she's Tim's brother. She, not that one, Timothy, sister, sorry. Oh, did I just do a reveal? I'm sorry. All right, bad joke. But she is the sister of Timothy, and she used to lead our worship team here on Sunday. She's awesome. We miss her a lot, and we're just so happy that she came back to share with us some of the things she's doing in Virginia Tech. Rebecca, come on up here, and I know she has a video she wants to share. Just let Jelly know whenever you want to show it, okay?
Sorry, I'm going to get set up really quick.